T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Filling up right behind the Bills bench right now with their flags and their hey, 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 hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey. Hey, hey,
hey,
hey. Let's go Buffalo chant.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
We are going to talk some Bills football with Sal Capaccio. Hey, by the way, reminder, since we're in training camp, Sal takes you behind the scenes of training camp. If you check out the Facebook, Sal will go live on the WGR Facebook page throughout the course of training camp. Behind the Scenes at Camp is presented by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And they bring you our segment right now with Sal on WGR. Good morning, Mr. Capaccio. How are you?
I'm excellent. I had my 30th high school reunion this weekend, Howard.
Oh, you are
old. And yes, I am. And then last night, I do not stay out late like that anymore. I was out late. Because I am getting old, you know, those things matter. So I literally went to bed at like, I think 8 o'clock last night, to be quite honest. So I'm feeling good this morning.
Wow. Did you have to wear the name tag, or are you famous enough that everybody knows who you are?
We had a very small class, and it was a late, like, put together for this sort of thing, you know, because everything that's going on, you know, didn't know if we could. So, we didn't even really need name tags. I actually thought about it, because there were a few times I actually said that to some people and said, you know, I thought about, should we all have name tags? But it didn't matter. There weren't enough people, and we all kind of knew each other. Small class, you know, we with social media, you know, people's faces now anyway, for the most part, to be quite honest with you. When they walk in the door, you're like, oh yeah, I saw that person on Facebook the other day, or on Twitter.
Gotcha. All right. Listen, we want to get to football, of course, and all the practices and the open practice, but the big story over the weekend was the report in the news. What are your thoughts on the stadium ask?
Well, obviously, you know, there's sticker shock when you read something like that, and, you know, you're preparing for a football season, and, you know, you're in mode of, you know, this team trying to win a Super Bowl, and then something like that happens, and you kind of have to shift gears a little bit, and those are the kinds of things that, you know, they're on the side as you're trying to not really talk about or deal with or write about or think about when you're covering a football team that has aspirations to win a Super Bowl. But they're always going to be there because I think we know the situation here, right? We know the situation that this team needs, this organization needs a new stadium and has for a long time. We've had a lot of these, you know, underlying kind of talks and discussions going back even before 2014 when Terry and Kim Pegula bought the team. So we know that. As this, you know, goes forward, there's going to be, it's going to be a process. That's what it is. Not to use Sean McDermott's word. I'm not trying to, you know, use a pun here, but it's going to be a process. And I think we all just need to take a step back and see how it plays out. Sure. You know, I read it like everybody yesterday, and there's an initial, wow, like there's a sticker shock of what's going on here. And then you kind of have to take a breath. You step back a little bit and you realize, okay, this is part of the process, if you will. So let's see where it goes next. And, you know, let's, I'll kind of just wait on everything to kind of play out and develop.
Saturday, what was it like? You had 15,000 fans out there for practice. I know, just I said to Jeremy, Sal, just looking at some of the videos that were tweeted out of, you know, the MVP chants and some of the fan reaction and the noise in the stadium. It had to be fun for the players to experience that.
I'm sure it was. You know, we asked several players what it was like to have that many people for a practice, and they're like, "Yeah, it was really cool. It was really wild." You know, some of the newer players, obviously, even players who really didn't get a chance to play in front of fans last year until the playoffs, you know, who saw that for the first time, they were super impressed. But, you know, I think by this time, everybody knows what Buffalo brings. People know that when you come here and you start your career here, this is the kind of fan base we have. This is the kind of, you know, the passion that people have for their football. So for me personally, I just, you know, I'm a people person. I missed people last year. I missed being in a stadium with 70,000 people. I missed being, you know, at the road games. And I loved, just watching people come into the stadium was cool. It really was. You know, they were just, you realized watching people come down, like, man, they're getting ready to watch their Bills for the first time in a while. Some of these people have not seen them, even if they're season ticket holders. They haven't seen them maybe in 2 years, which is super cool. So it was great. It was nice. It was fun. And I'm really looking forward to, I bet you there's going to be more people on this coming Saturday. After all the stories and pictures and video that were out there.
Yeah.
They're doing it again Saturday, and I think people are going to be like, I need to be there. And it's going to be like 80-something degrees, I think, on Saturday.
And one thing, Sal, this kind of struck me this weekend. You know, the reporters that were there all last year, you and the rest of the media, I mean, you guys did a great job telling us what you're allowed to tell us. What fans do bring is they can add buzz about certain players. All of a sudden, is Jake Kumerow the talk of the town? You know, like, people go, they see, they tell their friends, they tell their friends. All of a sudden, instead of just, you know, hearing reports, it's, I'll tell you, I like that Jake Kumerow. Looks like he's making a difference. So, I mean, you know, that's just one name, but it's that, you know, that little bit of buzz that people and observers that are there firsthand add to it.
100%. And, you know, I know this sounds kind of weird, but even for someone like me, it's, I don't know if the word validation is real, but sometimes, you know, when I'm watching something, I'm like, boy, is that guy looking as good as I think he is, or is he struggling? And when you get like a whole bunch of fans who are smart and they watch football and they're kind of seeing the same thing, it does kind of validate, you know, like what we've seen so far. And I've said, yep, you know what? I know that that's what I thought I've seen with Jake Kumerow, and all these fans are seeing the same thing. Like I'm not dumb here, right? I know exactly what I think I've seen, and it looks right. So I agree with that, you know, and I do think that's one of them. We could talk about, you know, some of the things that have happened over the first 4 days so far, which I wrote about. Mm-hmm. But you're right, Jeremy, seeing getting fans' perspective on that. Now, granted, it's one practice, right? Because anything can happen. Maybe through the first three games or days, I should say, we've had certain players look one way or another. And then that particular practice, something else happens. But I would say that Saturday was a pretty good microcosm for what fans saw and what, you know, we heard from people and tweeting about, and, you know, people who write blogs or whatever it is. And they're seeing the same things that we have for the most part for the first 3 days. And I think that's pretty cool.
And what are some of those things, Sal, like that Josh Allen being sharp is the new normal, that the passing game looking like it's got good weapons is, it's almost every day now from what it sounds like, at least down there.
Yeah, and I'll say that I think Saturday was Josh's worst day, and he wasn't bad, but I think it was his worst day. I think that the first 3 days he was excellent. He was on fire, and you know, someone brought up the point, well, is it a coincidence that there's fans in the stands? No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they're not like making all this noise when they're on offense, you know what I mean? But maybe there's a little bit of extra juice flowing there. You're getting a little more ramped up. We've all seen, you know, that could happen. But yeah, I think that's part of it, which is it's just the expectation now that Josh Allen's going to look really good. Jake Kumerow's the one, I think, you know, that people are really talking about. We talked about that on defense. I think, you know, the size and the athleticism that this group has now, especially with a guy like Greg Rousseau, that's something too, I think, that, you know, fans saw for the first time that we've seen for three days, which is, you know, this guy, he's just different. When he walks out there, he looks different than everybody else.
Yeah, I keep thinking the pictures are photoshopped when someone stands next to Greg Rousseau, because he looks like a massive human being. And now you've made the point too, Sal, with the defensive line. I think you brought this up with Leslie Frazier on Friday. The fact that you've always talked about how they seem to be longer on the defensive line, but they're also bigger. Like, people were tweeting about Harrison Phillips looking thicker, bigger on Saturday. So was that part of their offseason to get longer, but also start coming back? Whatever. You got bigger up front too.
Yeah, so Leslie Frazier said they had the smallest defensive line in the league last year. Now, I haven't looked at all the numbers for every defensive line in the league, but I'll trust what he says, and I'll tell you that they were small last year. And part of that was because they had you know, star Latulale wasn't there. You know, Jerry Hughes is a really good player. He's not like the biggest guy in the world. You know, I mean, like, guys like that, they don't have it. And obviously Ed Oliver is an undersized defensive lineman, if you will. Well, if you take a look at this year's roster, guys, the Bills have, let's just talk about defensive tackle for a second. The Bills have 8 defensive tackles listed on their roster. 7 of them are 300 pounds or more. The only one who isn't is Ed Oliver at 287. That's not his game. You don't want him to be 300 pounds, right? Harrison Phillips looks like a new person. Harrison Phillips is really thick up top. He's leaner down low. I think he's transformed his body. Then you add in Greg Rousseau and what we just talked about. Then you add in F.A. Obada, who can play inside, he can play outside. He's listed as offensive end on the roster. We'll see how the Bills employ him, basically. But he's kind of Greg Rousseau light, if you will, as far as body. He's a little more, he's thicker than Greg Rousseau, but he's long like that. He's a little less long. He's a little more thick, but he's in that same mold. And then you talk about Boogie Basham, who, although he's not like those guys, he's still, he's very athletic for a big man, and he's a bigger guy. So, yeah, they have completely transformed their entire defensive line look and gotten bigger and gotten longer in one offseason.
Sal Willis, you got any Bills questions? You can call us up and talk to Sal, 803-0550, and he'll let you know what he's been seeing at camp. That's the other nice thing about Saturday's open practice with fans. We get to ask you specific questions that you can now actually answer. So Cody Ford was he at right guard? Is that correct? And Feliciano was on the left side?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, the Bills are going to tinker with some things. They're going to, especially with Ike Butker out as well, and that's a guy that I think they want inside that rotation to, you know, see what he can bring to the table. He might even be starting, pushing for a starting job after last year. We've seen guys move around like that with Feliciano on the left and Cody Ford move over to the right on Saturday. So we'll see how it continues to go. And, you know, on Saturday next week, we can kind of take a look if that's the case. But this is kind of typical for the Bills this time of year, right? We know this, that they move guys around. They like to see different players. Bobby Hart got a lot of look at, you know, left tackle in Deion Dawkins' absence on Saturday, right? I mean, this is an opportunity. You don't want Deion Dawkins not there. You don't want Ike Butker not there. But with those guys out, it's obviously an opportunity for guys to move around. But yes, that's exactly right what you said.
What do you think Cody Ford's best spot is, left side or right side? And I guess I'll make it a two-part question, Sal. When they're trying to figure out who to play where, is it all about where he's best, or is it where you put Feliciano where you think he's best and then put Ford in the other spot?
I don't think it's about Feliciano. I think it's about Ford.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really about the tandem, if you will. It's really probably about the three. It's about them and Mitch Morse together. Maybe it depends on, maybe Mitch feels more comfortable with one. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a really good and tough question, Howard. I don't know, because they've moved him around so much. I'll say this. I think he's a better guard than he is a tackle.
Yeah.
Okay. And then from there, you know, you also have to think about, does the knee play into this? The injury, the rehab. On which side, where he would have to anchor or push off of in certain passing situations, or how they want to run their offense. So I think there's probably a lot that goes into it. And I don't think I could, I would say, I think left guard last year seemed to me like his best spot so far of his career.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that if he gets a full shot at right guard, that it wouldn't be better for him. I just think that that's where he looked the best to me so far until he got hurt last year.
With the receiver situation, I wanted to backtrack because I know you wrote about and you brought up Jake Kumerow, or Jeremy asked you about Jake Kumerow. I thought you made a good point, and I think it was your four practice recap. We talked to you. When we talk to you about the back end at a position, a lot of times we're talking about, does the guy play special teams? And you make the roster because you play special teams, and then if there are two or three injuries, okay, you'll play that other position. With Kumerow, can you talk a little bit about that? Because it seems like you look at him as he could make the team as a wide receiver. And, oh, by the way, yes, he would also be on special teams as opposed to the reverse.
That's exactly right. I think Jake Kumerow has looked really good. And I think Jake Kumerow is a wide receiver. He's not a special teams player. He is a wide receiver who can help on special teams. Mm-hmm. That's the difference between him and a guy like Tywan Jones. Tywan Jones is a special teams player who, in a pinch, you could put him at running back. Or Tyler Matakevich is a special teams player who, in a pinch, you can put him at linebacker. That's not Jake Kumerow. Jake Kumerow is a wide receiver. And, oh, by the way, he's going to help us on special teams. There's a difference there. And I think he's looked like a legitimate 53-man wide receiver guy, if you will, so far through 3 days. Now, Cole Beasley had a rest day on Friday. Stephon Diggs had a rest day on Saturday, although he did some light work in the beginning. You're going to get a few more reps. The same thing we talked about with the offensive line, with Dawkins and Butker being out. So it's given an opportunity for a guy like Kumerow. But since the jump, and I'll go back to last year, I think Jake Kumerow looked good last year. Then he caught that pass against Denver everybody talked about. We know the Bills really liked him. They didn't want to lose him when they had to, you know, create a roster spot for John Brown, but they did. They liked him so much, they brought him back. You know, this is not a Duke Williams situation from when he first showed up on the scene, or how many guys have we had over the years when they first showed up? Remember, like Andre Davis, maybe it was. Who's the guy that the wide receiver the 1 year, right? There's always been a player, it seems like, David Sills. They show up and you're like, oh, this guy looks really good in camp. Like, this guy's been here. The Bills like him. He already had a really legitimate shot to make the team. And I'll tell you, I think he's looked really good at wide receiver. And the added bonus is he can play special teams, which gives him even more of an opportunity to make it.
Yeah, so go ahead. I'm sorry.
I don't want to get too far on Kumro here, though, Sal. Like, you know, I've got Aaron Rodgers, who really likes that guy. Mm-hmm. And is you say he's got a good shot at the 53-man roster. Is it enough of a spot that they have to keep him, or should they I can't believe I want to say, like, trade Jay Kumro for the best
you can get. Green Bay.
But you are so flush at that position, it makes me wonder if you have someone that other teams think can contribute, and you're only getting him for worth so much on your 53. I just wonder if there's some sort of scenario where that could play out.
I think the only scenario is if they offered you something that you absolutely could not refuse. Jeremy, I think gone are the days of, yeah, you know what? We can spin a guy in the back end for
a third
an extra
round
draft
pick.
If you think that guy can help you win a Super Bowl, even if it's only five games he's active for or three plays during a game, you know, this organization, it's the exact same conversation that's actually come up very recently with Mitch Trubisky.
I was going to mention that.
Because of the injury to Carson Wentz. Yep. And I'll say the exact same thing, which is, the Bills want as many really good players at as many spots as possible because they're trying to win a Super Bowl. They do not want to get to the end of the year and go, you know, if we just had that extra wide receiver guy, we could have gotten through one more game, but it cost us home field advantage. If we just had that extra, that backup quarterback we really needed, but you know what? We traded him for a fifth round pick because, oh, he might have been active for, you know. So I think that's the way you look at it. If this was a different time period, a different build, where this team is, I would say that's when you think about it. I don't think they're in that situation now. I think now it's no. If he's going to help us, he's staying.
Right. Maybe if you're talking about, you know, you're flush at one position but needing things at a lot of others, you do want those draft picks and you do want to spin it. But instead, you know, the Bills could have 12 picks next year. How many guys can make the roster? It's not exactly an easy team to make, as you know, you've laid out several times. So I think
Makes sense. And I'll say this too, Jared. I think too that, like, so linebacker to me, I think linebacker is very good. I actually wrote, you know, people are surprised when I write this. I think linebacker could arguably be the deepest position on the team, believe it or not. I think it's really good because everybody there can play and they're all versatile. It's like it's a stacked unit. So I think that's where a spot where you could look to trade a guy, because even one of the guys that isn't going to make it, the drop to the next guy isn't that much. So let's say you were to, in your scenario, which could happen, let's say, you know, the Packers call and say, we'll give you a mid-round pick. What's the drop-off from Kumro to the next guy? Because the way he's looked, I can't see right now even like an Isaiah Hodgins or a Duke Williams being able to even be the guy that could play a role that Kumro could play at this point. People could say it's only a few plays a game. I think that could be the difference between winning and losing a football game, basically.
Yeah, and we've seen, you know, as this passing offense has evolved, you know, they were going for the record for most players to catch a touchdown pass. I mean, Gabe Davis went from a couple plays a game to absolutely vital in that Colts playoff game very, very quickly. So, yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, it's a team that is nearly complete, and they don't want to go ahead and create any holes where they don't have to.
I agree with you. So, even back-end guys who are more insurance, quote-unquote, are very important to a team that has Super Bowl aspirations.
How was the skirmish Friday? Or dust-up? Or what was it, officially a skirmish?
And did Ed Oliver and Spencer Brown have lunch, as he suggested they might? They got to get the follow-up.
Okay, so it's great. I love this because I got another bit of anecdote on this for you guys that you're going to love. So, first of all, Spencer Brown and Ed Oliver get into it. They get tangled up after a play. We've seen these things happen a million times throughout the years. You guys have been there. You know what it's like, right? But the funny thing is, like, they're so different in size, right? Spencer Brown is just this gigantic human being. And Ed Oliver is, you know, he's a lot bigger than the average human, but he's not as big as a lot of these other guys, even in this position. So he's literally looking up at him, and they kind of like throw a punch or two. It looked like, you know, whatever, swinging arms. And then Ed grabbed his helmet, threw it off. So Spencer Brown just looked at him and dove on him. And it was great. Like, just, and I say great because it was kind of funny, because I can say that nobody got hurt, but he just dove on him. And then everybody just piles in. But because of where it was, there were really more offensive and defensive linemen nearby. So as I wrote on Twitter, it was a big pile of large people after that, right? Everybody's just getting in there. And then I saw it. So I see Jordan Poyer kind of run at the end. And he's like kind of fake shadow boxing. Like, yeah, let's go. Right. It's just, it was funny. Everybody gets pulled off. They all go to their respective wherever. Those guys, I even saw, they got matched up a few plays later. It's fine. You know, that's what happens in training camp. He makes a joke afterwards. He's, you know, we're family. Whatever happens in the field stays in the field. These guys are competing. That's what it is. And it's so funny, though, the reaction on social media like that. You have a camp of, this is great, I love it, look at the fire. And you have another camp of, oh, dissension already on the Bills, they're fighting. Oh, my gosh, this is, or Ed Oliver's, he's just mad that Spencer Brown plays hard and he doesn't. Like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? But the greatest is this, and this is what you'll love. I actually had mentions from Patriots fans coming in and going, see, look what's happening in Buffalo. The Patriots are ready to retake the division. And I'm thinking, this is amazing. They are clinging on to every little thing they can because they're so desperate to try and actually overtake the Buffalo Bills again, which is incredible.
Yeah, they're just trolling. I mean, that's just crazy, right?
No, like these people are they know this is the Bills division, I think, you know, and they're looking for any little morsel they can, Howard, to me to say, so oh, guess what? Look, they're fighting in Buffalo. We can do this.
I
think that's awesome.
You're overlooking Spencer Brown as a Belichick plant. It's a genius move. That's what this is. It's genius.
That's right.
A Belichick.
Oh my gosh. I mean, look, I expect a few more of these maybe before, maybe not. Maybe there could be zero of them, but it happens. You know, it's hot. It's going to be hotter this week, actually, and guys will be out there and they're competing. So it was much ado about nothing when it comes time to, like, oh my God, should we read anything into this? No, but I will tell you, it was a good little skirmish. It was cool. Like, I mean, just from that perspective, sometimes you get some pushing and shoving. You know, these guys went at it for a moment and then boom, it's over and it's done with and you move on, you play football. People always ask, do coaches like that? Do they not like it? I think in my experience, I'll say this. Coaches don't love it, but they know what's going to happen. So, hey, it's going to happen. Get it over with. Let's get to the sidelines and run the next play. Let's go.
I want a media skirmish. I want tweets of well, video you, hey, of a media hey. Skirmish.
All you got to do is show up, pal. Let's go.
No, not me.
Oh, not me.
I would get hurt. I'm talking about people who are in shape. I want people who are athletic and won't get injured.
You want to be
me, I know.
Jordan Poyer here on the side.
Shadow boxing. Like, yeah, like. I'd even get hurt shadow boxing. Are you kidding me? I'd probably pull a hamstring or pop an elbow tendon or something.
Next thing we know from Jordan Poyer, he's such an incredible athlete after that golf story. Next thing we know in like a year after he's retired from football. Yeah, he's boxing. He's a champion of some sort. This guy can do anything, right? I mean, that's what we're going to be hearing. Howard, believe me, you show up down there, I know a few media members who'd like to skirmish with you. Okay?
Well, I'll tell you what, if someone cuts me in the free food line, then I'm dropping the gloves. So practice at 10 today, right?
Practice at 10. We're going to hear from Brian Daboll today at 9:15 a.m. And by the way, Howard, you are very well liked amongst the media. I was just kidding. I just want to make sure you know that.
Sure. Way to snow it. Yeah, no, I know. I'm persona non grata. Thank you, as always, for your time, Mr. Capaccio.
Except that Sal Mariana guy. He's a Yankees fan. You're a Mets fan.
He's just an angry old man. He's grumpy towards everybody. So I know that. So, all right. Thanks, Sal.
Okay, guys.
Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? Now, and Sal has been doing articles after each practice, so you can find the recaps from Friday. As he mentioned, there's an additional piece with kind of a through the first four practice sessions observations he's had. That's available at WGRF550.com as well. You can join us too, 803-0550. We're getting your thoughts on the story in the news yesterday about the stadium ask from the Pegulas. I knew I had to tweet it out, and I was a little worried about checking notifications, but for the most part, it's not getting stupid crazy on Twitter. So you can call in on that. You got some Bills questions or comments. We'll get to a little bit. We haven't actually gotten to the Sabre stuff. We'll get to that too.
Yeah, you want to get to the Eichel agent
stuff.
Statement and dig deep into that a little bit?
Yeah, we'll get to that too. So anyway, phone line's open. Join us. Brandon Bean coming up a little bit after 8 o'clock on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I would have no problem at all if Jack Eichel is on our team when we start training camp. I have said this before and I'll say it again. If we are in a position that we believe will help our franchise, not just short term, but for the long term, in building this out, in building around a core and a foundation of critical assets, then we'd be open and looking at it. And if we didn't have that on the table or don't think that makes sense, then we won't do something. But yeah, I have no problem with Jack being here.
Sabres GM Kevin Adams. We'll get to Eichel here in a moment. Our coverage of Bills training camp, continuing coverage here on WGR, is brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Fugle Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, and by Jim's Steakout, celebrating 40 years of mouthwatering hoagies and chicken finger subs. How was your Friday night?
My Friday night?
Around what, 9:45, 10 o'clock?
I was out celebrating a good round of golf, so it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. So let me get this straight.
Is that when you got the, why, is it 9:45 when?
Or I thought it was around, was it around 9:45, 10 o'clock Friday night when the
when the statement came out?
Yeah, I think. How about?
Yeah, I was unfazed.
I was still awake. How about me still being awake? So the according to the agents, let me get this straight. So the Sabres have agreed that a surgical procedure is now necessary, but are still resistant to the disc replacement, although the agents thought they had agreed to that too, right?
Yeah, I mean, the statement, the Eichel agent statement from Peter Fish and Peter Donatelli, do I have that right?
Yes, yep.
So in there, it says that they were under the impression that if he had gone through the rehab, then the surgery would be an option or something to that effect,
but
right?
Their surgery too, like, because we're going to get into a discussion about fusion versus the disc replacement here,
right.
I think.
Because he has been doing the rehab.
Yes.
He has done rehab.
It was a 12-week rehab, I think.
Yes.
Right?
There was a – Eichel apparently wanted the surgery quickly. They wanted a slower timetable. Again, like trying to piece it all together and maybe getting a little bit of it incorrect here. We'll do the best we can is together to piece this together.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you've got statements and you've got teams saying things that maybe they can't tell you everything. But yes, it seems like he wanted the disc replacement surgery, and they wanted him to go with the more conservative rehabilitation.
So let me ask you, if you're the agent, all right, why put the statement out? I'm guessing, for me, I'm going to tell you that I could under, first off, I, hang on. There was also, which we'll get into as well, and a podcast that Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick, did. And they interviewed a neurosurgeon out in Colorado who has been consulted by Eichel and his camp. And he went into a really big discussion about the disc replacement and why that's the way to go and fusion and all that. Anyway, okay. So just remember that as a backdrop to this discussion. Why do the agents let the statement out? Is it because they're looking at it, if I'm Eichel looking at it going, hey, my season's beginning to tick away here. Like, yes. I need to get this thing done. So let's get this out there because they feel it'll speed up the trade?
Right. There's probably not much of a benefit to the statement other than expressing
their
frustration because, you know, there's a lot that is said about this. And first off, you have some people believing he doesn't even want or need surgery. He's pretending because he wants to be traded.
Okay, I think we can put that to bed now.
Well, you've got some that would say he always wanted out. He's using this as a way to get out. Hmm. And okay, sure, I guess he's gone to great lengths to prove that by now having, you know, the surgeon describing great detail what the surgery that he wants is.
The surgeon said too, Dr. Chad Prusmark, yes. I believe it was Prusmack or Prusmark. Anyway, he said right in that podcast that the injury did not respond to the conservative care. They did
That's
a follow up exam. It's still a problem, and that he will need surgery. So I think it's now, okay, what's the best surgical procedure? And that's the difference between the Sabres and the agents.
Right. And the agent, the doctor in that podcast lays out timelines for the surgery. Mm-hmm. Jack wants timelines for the surgery the Sabres would approve of, the fusion surgery the Sabres would like. And he wants, of course, the artificial disc replacement.
Yep.
Now, a couple things. One, this is, of course, Jack's side of the story being told in the podcast.
Yeah. And if you listen to it, honestly, when you get done,
you'd
be 100%
convinced.
With Jack. You'd be
you'd
like,
be convinced.
This is ridiculous. Go get the surgery you want. It's crazy.
Right. So before we get to exactly like what that said, one of the counterpoints I saw plenty of people pointing out was, well, I'd like to hear the Sabres side of it.
Yeah.
You know, what do their team doctors say? The person, I mean, Eichel would have gotten a medical consult to suggest the fusion, mm-hmm. and then ask for the second opinion. Did this take you back to at some point during the spring and summer, like, oh, Jack Eichel seeking a second opinion.
Right.
I remember that came out, and we were told, actually, that's fairly normal. Guys will do this all the time.
It's encouraged, right?
Yes.
I think the Players Association encourages it.
Yes, and you get to team doctor versus personal doctor, which is not that unusual of a thing to happen in professional sports. You know, teams have their own doctors,
yep.
and athletes that are, of course, worth hundreds of millions of dollars over the course of their career, their agents, whatever. They might have their own medical personnel they'd like to evaluate.
It just happened with Carson Wentz. He suffered a foot injury. I'm sure the Colts doctors looked at him, and then he went to go see, or was going to see, Dr. Anderson, a foot specialist somewhere.
Well, think of how many times, I mean, Dr. James Andrews became famous.
We all knew who he was, right?
We all knew who he was because a lot of guys go to Dr. James Andrews. He's not ever.
Richard Stedman in Vail, Colorado was a knee expert.
Okay.
Bruce Smith used to go see him. Yeah.
Right. So anyway, you know, all this kind of starts to, in the podcast, if you're listening to it, it plays out that they want the one surgery and he wants the other surgery.
Uh-huh.
So I get which question are we on right now? Why now for the statement?
What does the statement do? What's the purpose of it?
I don't really know what it does. I don't think it affects his trade value.
Yeah.
It voices frustration, and I think what it does is it brings to light where they are in this, which is, he could have this surgery today, and he can't because the Sabres won't allow it, and they also haven't yet traded him.
Yeah.
So what you have is a player needing a procedure that he's chosen, and the person that holds all the cards is Kevin Adams. So we got to the draft, we got to the first couple days of free agency, and still the move has not been made. So I think the agent expresses frustration because at some point they were likely told, like, I mean, who knows? The agent has said a few times, we believe this will be, you know, resolved shortly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Has not yet been resolved. Back in June, it felt like it was very close. I mean, a lot of sources had started reporting maybe days for Eichel to be traded, got put off again. So while the Sabres are waiting for this trade value return, and I understand why they want the biggest return they can get, He's just waiting.
Yeah.
He's just waiting, and now it's gone long enough that as he continues to wait, his season becomes in doubt.
And that's why I understand. Like, that's why I just thought, if you're going to issue a statement, like, I could see, if I was Eichel, I'd be ticked off. Like, I'd be really angry because it's jeopardizing the beginning of my season. It was pointed out, I think it was one of the guys in the news, it could jeopardize his Olympic participation, and apparently that's something, playing for Team USA is something he's always dreamed of doing. So I could get why he's frustrated, Jeremy, but I don't know, in terms of you're hoping to get the trade done as soon as possible, the statement from the agent doesn't, I don't think it speeds up the process.
If no, you're,
it
I
doesn't
don't.
Change Kevin Adams' approach to this trade. By the way, nor should it. He still has to do what is best for the Sabres. And if the agents come out and issue a statement, it doesn't mean you call the Rangers today and go, don't worry about Kako. Give me somebody else.
Right. I agree with that. To me, there are two separate big issues here. One is the trade. The other is the surgery. So, okay, the Sabres don't want him to get the surgery. Why? If you listen to the podcast, you may or may not be convinced that it's the best option for Eichel. My answer to that is, it doesn't matter what you think. We're not putting up a Twitter poll on which one he should get. He's the patient. He's decided.
Right.
He's heard all of it from all the doctors. He's heard from the Sabres doctors. He's heard from his own. He's looked at all the information. He's got a career to protect. He's got an injury to repair. And he's decided, I'd like the artificial disc replacement. So whether or not you think the Sabres side of it matters doesn't really matter, at least not to me, in this conversation. Who cares what they want? They don't even want him to play for them anymore.
But it does matter because they have the
trade
ultimate
value.
Say. No, the CBA. I mean, the Sabres.
I understand. They have ultimate say in the CBA, but even that is not quite the issue here. Lots of hockey players go to their own doctors, get their own treatments.
Yep.
Tom Brady had his own doctor. He had his own trainer. The Patriots are within their rights to tell him he can't see that guy. They let him see that guy. It is not unusual for professional sports teams to allow players to pursue their own avenues. In that podcast, and a few times before, it's pointed out, Sidney Crosby got his own concussion treatment mm-hmm. from someone else outside the organization. They greenlit that and said, okay, let's try that. Connor McDavid was due for a knee surgery. He went and got a second opinion outside the organization, a different kind of plan. They greenlit that. He got it and got back on the ice sooner. I had somebody tweet me over the weekend that on Bill Simmons' podcast, Kawhi Leonard talked about this apparently, or he relayed a story about Kawhi Leonard. Here you go. They talked to people with Kawhi. Mistrust of players and team doctors was, of course, that the doctors work for the team.
Right.
And that 45% say they'll side with the team. And if it's 45%, they'll side with the team, so they defer to players. Just on, like, which side to take. Eric Lindros, right? Why did he leave the Philadelphia Flyers? Because the team doctor told him to get on a flight, and he almost died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have mistrust there because whatever you want to say. If it's any sport, like, here, shoot this up, painkillers, go for it.
For sure.
You'll be fine.
Right. I think Rick Martin years ago had a lawsuit with the Sabres, I think.
Right.
I don't know. It's a long time ago. Anyway,
Tyrod Taylor had his lung collapsed,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, like, there's a lot of noise to this. What it comes down to for me is the frustration for Eichel is clear. One, he wants this surgery. His team won't allow him to have it. Two, the team also won't trade him so he can have it with his new team. Three, they also, from all reports, won't give the medical records to the other teams until they're close enough. So what you have is a bit of a medical standoff where the player cannot get the procedure he wants that he believes would get him back on the ice sooner. And the team is just waiting for the right trade package. So what it all comes out to is the team says, you can't get it, and you can't do anything until we get what we think we are owed for trading you.
Yeah, and maybe Eichel just blew his stack and said to his agents, okay, you know what, put this statement out. Because he's probably tired of waiting. I would be. And based on what the doctor said, based on listening to the podcast, if that were me, or if it was my son,
imagine
it's
your
I would
son.
Do what the doctor said. He made a very convincing argument, and I'd be sitting here going, and you're going to tell me, okay, I think this is the best for my son, and then someone else is telling me, no, sir, you can't have that. Well, why not? Like, it's really, I just don't know how the statement fixes it, but I could understand where I would think, I don't know if it was the agent's idea or Eichel's idea, where Eichel would be like, you know, light these guys up. Go issue a statement. I'm tired of this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, again, people tend to think we'd have a text that came out. I think Jack's using this to buy a year toward his no move clause. Hmm. No, he just wants the surgery.
Right. If you listen to the podcast and hear the explanation from the neurosurgeon, you would completely understand where Jack, you would not think this is just fake to get him out of town.
He's not trying to miss a season to get his no move clause kicked in. At this point, he wants to go probably anywhere that will let him have it. And, you know, like you just pointed out, dogs.
What's
barking.
Going on with your dogs over there?
He doesn't
there?
Like it when we talk about neurosurgery. You know, he's really, he gets really.
Apparently he's for fusion, I guess.
The doctor on the podcast points out that this is not a experimental surgery.
Correct.
This is not unusual. The only thing is it's never been done in an NHL player.
But it's been done in hockey players.
It's been in hockey players, not in an NHL player. Yeah. They do it all the time for rugby players. He says he's done it for rugby players a bunch. He points out Chris Weidman, a UFC fighter who mm-hmm. had the surgery. And, you know, the rate of resurgeries,
oh, yeah.
if that's a word.
Yeah.
You know, fusion can lead to problems. Anybody getting a fusion surgery can talk about, like, what can come with that.
It was very convincing.
It was convincing. And, again, like, if you say, well, that's Eichel's side, what about the Sabre side? That might be convincing, too. I just think the ultimate point is it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
He's heard it all. He's made his choice.
He's made his mind up, right.
And I'm just going to keep going back to what this means for the Sabres in the long term. Like, you could say they got to make sure they get the most value for Eichel in a return. Taylor Hall, in a Boston press conference, said he stood with Jack Eichel. What do the other players around the league think of all of this?
Yeah.
That's a reasonable question. Do you now say, I mean, you see what they're doing with him? They won't let him get the surgery that he wants? I mean, his agent would be the agent to other players. Like, you have to, I think if you're the Sabres, you have to carefully weigh what are we gaining out of this? Are we really thinking that another first-round pick or this prospect versus that prospect or whatever? It seems to me like players might really start to be skeptical about the Sabres here if they're taking their star player, holding him out, holding back a surgery, and the key, I think, is they don't even want him anymore.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry, we're late.
Yeah.
This isn't even like we're afraid how this will affect your career because they don't want him playing for them. What they're afraid of is that if he gets the surgery, the other teams would be afraid, which you want to say there's a reasonable case there, that's fine. There probably is a reasonable case to be made that teams would be afraid. But the only reason not to allow it is to protect his trade value, and that's kind of hard.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's get a break in. If you're on hold, hang on. We can get back and get some of your calls in, too. 803-0550 to join us, WGR.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices, anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's get some calls here. 803-0550. Bills GM Brandon Bean coming up in the next segment. We'll get to Greg in Lancaster here on WGR. Go ahead, Greg.
Hey guys, you know I get Eichel's side of things, but you guys are leaving out a real key point here. This isn't like a routine surgery. This isn't something that's been done on tons of players. This has never been performed on a professional athlete before.
It has been performed on professional athletes. It has not been performed on an NHL player.
Okay, well, the same thing. It has,
did you listen?
A little different, but it hasn't been performed on an NHL player.
That's
the
right.
NHL game, it's a high-impact, high-contact game. That's a pretty
Jeremy's
thing.
About – let me just hop in, Greg, because you didn't – Jeremy's
listen
about
to
make
the
point. You got to listen to the podcast because the doctor explains what you just said. The fusion procedure is worse for an NHL player with what you just talked about than the disc replacement because it allows more flexibility for the neck.
Okay. I
would have said the same thing you just said. And that's why I thought the podcast was eye-opening because he talked about head-to-head impacts. Rugby players get this done. Mixed martial arts guys get this done. The impact you could sustain, the way your head whips on a check, he talked about how the disc replacement, in his opinion, is a better surgical procedure to keep Eichel the same player he was than fusion.
All right, fair enough.
Yeah. No, and, I didn't mean – I'm sorry. No, I just didn't – because it was – I wouldn't know any of this stuff if I didn't listen to it.
A lot of us, we're not – listen, I didn't know anything about this either, and I know there are still people saying, like, that's the doctor who wants to do it. He has a vested interest.
Right. That, and he admitted that, too, by the way, that he's looking out for Jack's best interest.
Well, he's saying he is, and I'm sure the other doctor who wants to do this, the fusion, thinks he's looking out for Jack's best interest.
Yep.
At the end of the day, it comes down to the person involved with the career and the life afterwards has a decision to make and has chosen. And – within the CBA, right, we know the Sabres do have the right to refuse and to have a say here. But and that's why it gets really ugly. The whole thing's messy. It's really like a worst-case scenario kind of ending for anybody. But
the unfortunate thing that you have going on, too, though, I mean, this is a business. As much as we don't like to admit that sometimes, it's a business, and Jack Eichel's an asset.
Yeah.
A multi-million-dollar asset.
Oh, and I think that's why the Sabres are doing what they're doing, Greg. Yeah.
For
right,
sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I guess one thing that maybe the listening to the doctor talk will do, you may hold that belief, the Sabres, you know, it's a business. That's right. Kevin Adams wants to get as much as he can. And meanwhile, the other businesses, right, the other teams, if they knew this artificial disc replacement was going to work and he was going to return to the player he was going to be, the Sabres would get a king's ransom. This would have been done by now. But there is uncertainty, and that there's no NHL player that's ever had it done, the point that could be made for any surgery, any procedure. At some point, Tommy John, was he the first guy to get Tommy John surgery?
Right.
You know, we know about at medical advancements, at some point, you know, they can't happen unless they ever happen. So if we only for the rest of time are willing to do procedures that have been done before, we're going to miss out on better procedures. So I think what it did for me more than anything was make me feel like a lot of people want to be mad at Eichel, and maybe you didn't like him as a player. You think he's a bad leader. You can think a lot of things. To me, it elevated the human side of it. He has not publicly spoken since his press conference where he talked about the disconnect. He was probably frustrated at that point. He's probably even more frustrated now. He's just doing that rehab. It's done. According to that doctor, it has not responded, and now he wants the surgery that he wants. And he's in a position where the team he plays for can both tell him, no, you can't get it, and also, no, we can't even let you talk about having it with another team yet, because we have to get what we deserve here.
803-0550 to join us. We've got a break. If you're on hold, hang on. We're going to also have Brandon Bean coming up in a moment as well. That's next WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.